Amen. Aren't you glad to be in God's house tonight? Amen. Nothing like the house of God. Amen. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. I'm so glad to be here tonight. Children's Church always on Wednesday night, and they have a packed out room. Thank all those that work with them every Wednesday night. We're going to have a great Easter drama by them this coming Easter. Looking forward to some great things. Don't forget the 11th of February. Brother Baxter will be here with End Time Ministries, and we are expecting overflow crowds, hungry people looking for God. And we have quite a bit in the way of promoting that, and about a couple of weeks ahead of time, we've got ways to get you involved in helping promote that, other than just at your work and places like that now. But we're going to have some things that everybody can do to get people out here for that. Amen. I'd like for your attention to be turned tonight to the book of Matthew. Praise God. Amen. Matthew chapter 24, verses 32 and verse 33. Brother Jimmy, glad to see you all tonight. God bless you. Amen. As you know, we've had speak-out sheets. If you haven't spoken out yet and would like to, please feel free to do so. Probably 25 or 30 sheets have come in. We will be upgrading you on some of the suggestions and things that were made and bringing you up to speed. And some of those things, we'll have to wait till our new building gets kicked off. But we are looking to do that and start that building in the first part of March. So we're getting pretty close. And sometime February can be bad weather, so it's not really much use in maybe trying to get started if there's going to be rain and stuff. So first part of March is our goal to get ready to do that. And then we're going to be enlarging our Sunday school program. And right now we can't even bring a whole lot of kids on bus ministry because we don't have room to put them. But we will have room pretty soon, so be in prayer about that. Matthew 24 and verse 32. We're going to have to get bigger bifocals or brighter lights. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is at the door. Know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Just addressing tonight the idea that we possibly, very likely, probably are the generation to see the coming of the Lord. You can be seated. How many of y'all believe the Bible tonight? Believe the Word of God? I believe God's Word. Decided a long time ago just to believe God's Word and accept it and believe it as the Word, the inspired Word, God-breathed Word, for our admonition, for correction, for everything that we need for life and godliness. We live in a generation that questions God's Word. Do you know the Bible said that there will be a generation that will come that will doubt the coming of the Lord and that he would come in an hour that we think not? An hour that we think not. We live in a generation that doubts the coming of the Lord. Many of them might say they believe it, but I'm not sure that we actually believe that the Lord could come in our day, our generation. Jesus, when he ascended on high, the angel said, this same Jesus that you have seen go away shall so come in like manner. The clouds received him out of their sight. The clouds are going to bring him back one of these days. I still believe that promise. What about you? You believe that promise? Say amen. Praise God. Jesus said that he was going to prepare a place for us, that where he is, we may be also. He's going to prepare a place. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, he said, I would have told you, but I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. So he has prepared a mansion. In the Greek, that word mansion actually means resting place. So we will find our final rest when the Lord comes for his bride and for his church and takes us out of here. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Lord. Eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, and just like it was in the days of Noah, and till the day that they knew not that he was going to come, that the rain began to fall. And Jesus said, it's going to be like that when I come back. Two will be at the meal, two working, one taking, one left. Two will be at home, one taking, one left. He said that he would be coming as a thief in the night. So his admonition was, be watchful, be sober, be ready. Be watchful. 10 virgins. 5 had oil, 5 had no oil. The bridegroom came at midnight. The cry was made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. 5 who had oil, which is a type of the Holy Ghost, were full of oil, and they went out ready to meet the Lord. 5 that were foolish had no oil. They said, give us some of yours. And they said, not so. Well, you get your own oil. We don't want to run short. There was the midnight hour, nowhere to get the oil. It was too late at that moment. So the admonition is for us, as the Apostle Paul said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The only safeguard that we have to ensure our place in the rapture is to stay full of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. If you're full of the Holy Ghost tonight, say amen. Praise God. I like that. I want to be ready to go. Praise God. So I did a little soul searching today. Lord, I want to be ready. Am I ready? Would there be some reason in me that maybe I would not be ready? Now, I recall that Paul said, Romans chapter 8, that if the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, if the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, you shall be changed by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. That's why the proverb was spoken, as the tree falls, shall it lie. If you die from this life and pass away full of the Holy Ghost, you will await resurrection morning. It won't be your name. It won't be your qualifications. It won't be your money. It won't be who you were. It will be, are you full of the Holy Ghost? That's going to be the magnetic power that draws us out of the grave. When that Spirit of God within us is attracted by that Spirit of God that calls up to a higher place. Rapture, the word is not even in the Bible, but it comes from the Greek that means to be caught up. And so we will be caught up. And the trump of God shall sound. And the voice of God. And we which are alive and remain shall meet them in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Whether you're in the grave or walking planet earth, the only question is, are you full of Holy Ghost power? Bible said, Acts 1 and 8, that after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me. You see, the Holy Ghost power is not so we can work miracles. I mean, we need Holy Ghost power to do that, but the infilling of the Holy Ghost is not necessary to see miracles performed. Because the Old Testament prophets and people, some of them saw miracles performed. The apostles, there were miracles brought at their hands before the Holy Ghost was given. So I don't think God is wanting to give us this Holy Ghost power just to be working miracles. But the power of the Holy Ghost is for transformation. The Holy Ghost God is talking about is to translate us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. It's transforming power. It gives us power over sin. It gives us power over flesh. It gives us power over the devil. It's transforming power. It's power that we can live a consecrated life, a holy life, a dedicated life. It's power so we can be like Jesus. And it's resurrection power. It's resurrection power. That Holy Ghost is the dunamis or the dynamite. It's the power that's going to lift us up out of the grave. And then the Apostle Paul speaks of a generation to whom the ends of the earth are come. One generation, some generation, is going to be the generation that sees the Lord, that hears His trumpet, His voice, and rises to meet Him. Some generation is going to be that generation. Rapture generation. Terminal generation. Caught up generation. I believe, not to set any dates, not to make any wild predictions, because Jesus already has a day marked Rapture Day. He knows when He's coming. He doesn't need my word or my permission to come or me to explain, but we are living in the times that we have never seen the signs of the Lord's return like we are in our generation. When our forefathers spoke about this, they spoke about a day when every man and woman could be tracked, that their money could be tracked, of a one-world currency. We didn't have the computerized society. We couldn't see how all that could happen. Daniel spoke of a day when people would travel to and fro, and knowledge would increase. That's our day. You can travel across the world in a short period of time. You can be in several nations in one 24-hour period. And it's getting faster and quicker. Computers that used to take up this whole room are now held in the palm of our hand. I remember a day when nobody had a telephone. Well, very few people had a telephone. Certainly poor people didn't have telephones. But now everybody's got a telephone. We can communicate all over this world in a matter of seconds. Things happen in church. Announcements made in church. And before the people that made the announcement can get out and tell it, it's already texted out of the out of the congregation. So you call and tell me, hey, I know what you said. I got the text on it. Which is one of the recommendations is being kind of pressed upon me to make to you is turn your cell phone off when you come to church. Probably what God is saying is more important than what you're saying or what somebody's saying to you. Texting. Just turn it off. You come in anyway. That's subject for another day. We're communicating just rapidly everywhere. Knowledge is increasing. It's like it's never been before. And when you do the research on earthquakes, we've got more earthquakes over 7.0 in the last year or two than we've had in all the previous history that's been recorded. Tsunamis. It's unbelievable to see all these things come to pass in our generation. And let's bring it closer home. Men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They're saying in their heart, where is a sign of His coming? All things continue now as they have from the beginning. That's what my daddy told me one night when I got in the car with him. And he was smoking and drinking, and they were already divorced, and I didn't feel comfortable being with him. I was probably 8 or 9, 8 maybe. Take me to a picture show. I just knew as soon as I walked in that picture show, that was it. That was the Lord's signal for the rapture. When that boy stepped across the threshold of that theater, sound the trumpet, I'm coming. That's the way I felt. I felt that way. I remember when we used to really believe the Lord was coming. It affected the way you lived, the way you talked, the way you acted, the places you went, the things you did, the way you lived your life, what you watched, what you heard. You know, there was a day that those things mattered. Why? In the light of the Lord's imminent return at any day. My sister Shay got the Holy Ghost one night at home in bed. Got to thinking about the Lord coming and kind of got scared and shook up and began to pray. We all rushed in here at the sounds of her crying. She received the Holy Ghost. The Lord, we just knew He was coming. You knew He was coming. You could feel it. It was in the air. You know, days are 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day with the Lord. The way we count time in our eternal God is so different. Well, it's just, you know, to us it's been 2,000 years since Calvary. To God it's been only 2 days. You know, we look at 50 years, and my daddy picked me up that night, and he wanted to take me to the show, and I was upset and even kind of crying. Oh, he got mad. Your old mama tells you that. That old preacher tells you all that stuff. He said, I've heard that since I was a boy. I was too young to know then that he was fulfilling some Bible prophecy. That they'll come a day that they'll say all things continue as it has since the beginning of time. Nothing's changed. Season follows season. The sun rises every day and sets every day, and the moon comes out at night and the stars shine. Nothing's any different than it's always been. It is different. I feel it different. Now, you know, I don't know how to verify this. I tried to look on the internet before church and couldn't quite verify this. But I've heard for many years that the Jewish calendar is 7 years ahead of ours. You know, the Jewish calendar is different than the Gregorian calendar we go by. It's different. They start at a different time, the solar, the moon, all. I mean, it's just different time. And that their calendar is 7 years ahead of ours. Jesus said, this generation shall not pass away. Speaking about that generation, when Israel became a nation, I'll nail this down just in a moment. When Israel became a nation on May the 14th and 15th of 1948, this generation shall not pass away. Some people think a generation is 40 years. Most people think a generation is 70 years. Well, that's kind of what men have been promised for their life. 70. If 70 is the number, it's been 63 years since Israel became a nation. And if you add the 7 difference in the Jewish calendar, that's 70 years. This generation shall not pass away. Could Jesus come in 2011? I don't know of any prophecy that forbids it. The Bible said when you see these things begin to come to pass, lift up your head. for your redemption draweth nigh. Wars and rumors of wars and pestilences and famines and men's heart failing them for fear coming on the world. Look up, look up. Lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. I'm still looking for redemption. I don't plan to stay. It's a good thing I don't plan to stay here forever because it ain't going to happen. Good thing that's not my plan. I know I got to go one of these days. And so it might be age. It might be that realization that death is certain. But I'm looking for redemption. I'm looking to get out of here. What's this world going to be like in 40, 30, 50 years? Can you imagine? It'd probably do you good to quit watching little old silly sitcoms and start looking at some stuff that really is what's going on in our world. They've been doing surveys, and the majority of Americans don't know nor care what's going on in the world. Just don't get me away from my football game. I don't care what else is going on. We better get our head out of the sand. And if you'll read different publications and listen to different news reports about these kind of things, the predictions for our world in the next few years, it's astounding how life is going to change and how technology is going to be more controlling and captivating all the time. Your picture is taken dozens of times everywhere you go every day. Everything you spend, every dollar you spend on a debit card or credit card is known and tracked. Everywhere you visit on the website is known and tracked by somebody. Privacy. World government. Oh, yeah. We better realize this is our generation. Now, the Lord never said be all down and sorry about that. The only people I know sorry about the Lord coming are those that ain't ready. But those that are looking for Him and waiting, that's not bad news to me. That's good news. Praise God. So the other day, I got one of them little Android phones, and so I was just kind of looking around some of the apps that you can load up. And they've got an app that when you walk into a store, it tells you what's on sale in that store. It will track your spending. If you spend in that store, it will track it. And the next time you go to that store, it will pop up ads on your phone similar to purchases you bought before, things you have an interest in. You don't have to say, I'm interested in guns or fabric. Or you just buy stuff like that. It keeps up with it for you. Technology to buy what you want in the store, pick it up and walk out the door. It'll charge you when you walk out. You'll never know it happened. There come a day, He said, that no man will buy or sell save he that hath the mark. Oh, well, I know I won't take the mark. You won't? We can't even get some people to get on their knees 15 minutes and pray. Or even come to church on a Wednesday night. Or get out and knock a door on Saturday. You know, I'm just pointing out here this matter of priority. And as I'm saying, Lord, give me a sense of urgency in my own ministry and life. You're coming soon. You're even at the door. You see, the Jewish nation has always been God's time clock. The church has known this for many, many years. We know that. We know that Jews and the Bible talks about Daniel's 70th week, and there were 70 years determined on his people Israel. In the 69th weeks, and this was the time that Titus destroyed and ransacked Jerusalem, and they counted so many days. You can do this historically. I had to bring here tonight, but that's boring, and I know we don't like boring stuff. I'm boring without bringing boring stuff. But they can count the precise time from that prophecy to the crucifixion. 490 years. 70 years he's had been determined upon my people Israel. And at the end of 69 years, 69 weeks, or that 490 years, when Messiah would be cut off, that there would be a gap where during this 2,000-year period, that God would turn to the Gentiles to take out from among the Gentiles a people for His name's sake. And that Jerusalem would be trodden underfoot by the Gentiles. And that the Jews would be dispersed all over the world. That's where me and you are living right now, at the end of this 2,000 years. You know, there's some speculation whether the rapture is pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. And in one way, I guess in one way it doesn't matter. I mean, I do believe in the old adage, the old timers always said, just live for God, and the pan theory. Just live for God, and it'll pan out all right. Just be ready to go, and that's cool. But if the Lord could come before that 7 years of tribulation, looks like to me that puts a little bit more sense of urgency. I mean, if the Lord's not coming to that 7 years is over, I need to prepare a little differently. I need to lay up some pork and beans. I don't know how you'd store up enough, because if you don't have the mark, you ain't buying. I guess eventually you're going to get desperate. Somebody told me the other day, so I'll tell you one thing, if they ever start, if I'm still alive after the rapture and they come over and try to kill me, and I think I'd suffer. I think I'd take the persecution for the cause of God. I said, you might. But what if they bring your little two-year-old baby out and say, we'll torture this one? Don't get all bold and brave about what's going to happen. This is the time of the Gentiles we live in right now. This is our day. This is our time. He's turning to the Gentiles, the Bible said, to take out of them a people for His name's sake. And He's got one more week, one more seven-year period He owes to the Jews. I believe that's the seven-year tribulation. I might be wrong about that. But the Bible tells me that 7 years is a time of Jacob's trouble. That's a reference to the Jews. I believe that's the week God owes the Jews. Has very little to do with me and you, except as we rule and reign with Him over this earth during that 7 years. But I don't believe it's got anything to do with us here on earth. I don't believe God has to persecute us to perfect us. In fact, if God wants to perfect you, the best way He can do it is make you rich. Because riches is the most destructive thing known to man. It's hard for a rich man to enter in. And it's our blessings, I believe, that keeps us from many things of God. Because Jesus said a rich man will depend on his riches. And you know what? Don't kid yourselves. We're rich compared to two-thirds of the world. You make 50,000 years, and some of those people make a dollar a day or less. No, we're rich. It's prosperity that's hurt our faith, because we got doctors and insurance and a lot of things we can do. You know, we got banks and credit cards, and they'll loan me the money for it. And, you know, we'll just keep wiggling until we find a way to do it. But we need to get back to just trusting. You know, if we can't live for God with riches, and God knows it's a problem, because He said, when you go to the land that I'm going to give you, and you eat plant from gardens you didn't build, you live in houses you didn't build, and so on, don't forget me, God said. When you get all these blessings and all this prosperity, the tendency is to forget all about God. I believe God's trying us right now with our prosperity. because history has proven, even to this very hour, persecution causes the church to grow. Persecution is a great growth, church growth agent. Because when you're persecuted, you got nowhere else to go, and you realize what's you're going to turn to God. And let me promise you, when persecution comes, we're not going to be worried about some of these little petty things so much. I'm just trying, you know, it's not to be scary or brooding or heavy, because coming to the Lord is a glorious event, but we've got a job to do before He comes. Praise God. He said, I want my house full. Go to the highways, the hedges, compel them to come in. And we need that urgency of the Lord's coming to be the soul winners we need to be. If the good man would have known in what hour the Lord cometh, he would have been home, he would have been armed, he'd have been ready, and not have suffered his house to be broken into. But he didn't know he was coming. So he was unprepared. Jesus said, that's the way I'm coming. You see, if I knew the exact day or hour, I promise you, if I knew the Lord was coming on a certain day, I'd be so holy that day. Probably in the week or two before, I'd be so holy. I wouldn't think nothing wrong. I wouldn't say anything wrong. I'd love everybody, forgive everybody. I'd make sure I didn't see anything I shouldn't be seeing. And I promise you. If I knew it was coming, I'd be the most holiest thing in the world. And I know that's true because I get real holy on Saturdays. Because church is coming on Sunday. Monday I might be a little bit more carnal. You know, the Lord says he uses clean vessels. So I'm going to be used of God. So when I know it's my turn up, I'm saying, Lord, help me, holify me, cleanse me, holify. I just made up a good word. But I don't know when he's coming. You don't know when he's coming. We don't know the day of the hour. We know the times of the season, so it's all around us everywhere. And I don't have time to qualify all this tonight, but those of you who have heard me over the years, I believe direction is more important than speed. If you're going in the right direction, it don't really matter how fast you're going. Some people are faster than others. And we're growing and maturing toward God. And the blood that's applied to our life, there's a way to live for God and live under the blood and live in the will of God, that the blood is a continual cleansing and covering of our sin. So you don't have to, salvation is not a revolving door. You know, oh, I thought something I shouldn't thought. I'm going to hell. Lord, forgive me. Now I'm back in the kingdom. Oh, I should have done that, Lord. I'm going to hell. Lord, forgive me. Okay, you're back in the kingdom. I don't believe living for God's that way. I believe we're His children. Sometimes we're going to make mistakes. And sometimes we may even commit a sin, something, you know. But when you live for God, and you're living in the Spirit of God and under the blood in your head, I'm not talking about habitual sinning. Little children, sin not. But if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Live under the blood. That's another subject for another day. I'm just trying to say, don't fear if your heart's right. You know, this is a matter of the heart. Somebody said, oh, you believe in deathbed repentance? I believe if I have a chance on my deathbed, I will be repenting, yes. Of what? I don't know. Don't matter. Everything. Do you believe in deathbed repentance? I sure do. Because I'm going to be doing it. When you come see me, have I done anything to offend you? I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. On your deathbed, even, you know, my daddy was a man that was violent and profane, cursing womanizer, married half a dozen times, fight, cuss God, you know, beat his wife, and so on and so forth. And the older he got, the more religious he got. He even quit smoking cigarettes. Because the doctor said, if you'll quit smoking, I'll give you 2 or 3 more years. If you don't quit smoking, I'm going to give you 3 months. And out of his own mouth, he told me, I decided right then I better quit smoking. But you know what I believe? If somehow my daddy could have found himself 40 years old again, he'd been just as vile and mean and wicked as he'd ever been. He's looking at the grave. He knew he didn't have much time. But God knows the heart. If your heart's right with God, even in our humanity, just keep walking with God. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. A righteous man shall fall 7 times, but he will get up every time. Don't fear losing it. Just live for God. Stay in the church. Stay connected to things of God. Stay pliable, moldable in the hands of God. You know, it's just not really that hard to do. Well, church has some rules and regulations. Yeah, is it really that hard? I mean, I get to live and walk and work and eat good and sleep good and laugh and have fun and go play. There's some things I don't do. I don't regret not honky-tonking. I don't regret not, going on places on the internet I shouldn't go. None of that's hurt me. It's done nothing but help me. I'm not hooked on drugs, cigarettes. My family's in the church. You know, I just got a lot to be thankful for. Praise God. Well, anyway, a few finishing up remarks here. Verse of Scripture, which generation is he referring to? Which generation? That generation that saw, did you know Israel become a nation May of 1948? I look back at in the internet to the headlines in May. The way the Jewish day goes, it goes from the 14th to the 15th. So some say that Israel was born the 14th. Some say the 15th. But that 24-hour period is, I guess, from sun up to sundown, whatever it is. And but May the 14th. When you look at the headlines, you will find all headlines all over the world spoke about the miracle of Israel becoming a nation. The world exulted in the fact that these people who dispersed all over the world didn't have a home, didn't have a country, didn't have a land, didn't have a temple, didn't have a government, didn't have anything, but how in a day, you can point to the day Israel became a nation. And the world headlines talked about the miracle of how they were hated and dispersed and murdered by the millions. But they began to make their way home. And on one day, a nation was born. You've never seen or heard anything like it before in or since. Nations are not born in a day. It's just impossible. But Jesus said, when you see the fig tree bud, and fig tree is always a type of Israel, and when you see the budding of the fig tree, you know that summer is near. So I believe it's that generation, either those somewhere around 1948. Some of those still alive or were alive before that day. Maybe a few. I was born in 1950. I consider myself that general generation. That's why I believe that people of my generation will see the coming of the Lord. Now, some people say it's 40 years. Some people say 70. Some people say it's like the last time I have a generation. My kids are a generation. But we also have the record that God said to Israel they would be in Egyptian bondage for 4 generations. They were there for 400 years. So I'm willing to say up to 100 years. But people live to be 100 these days. Now, I just really can't imagine the Lord, another 40, 50 years. That's way things are going. Well, Jesus said, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? letting us know it's going to be some pretty difficult times come. But I believe those born around that period of time. Now, the fig tree has two harvests in a particular growing season. And I really am very close to three. Late June, early September. And the first crop is produced on the branches of the previous season. Israel's first crop, their June crop, failed, so to speak. And so God turned to the Gentile church, the Gentiles, to have a church. But he said, they're going to bud again. They've got a September harvest coming. We're between that June and September harvest. Acts 15:19, Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And in Amos chapter 8, you can look these up later, that God gave Amos a vision that Israel was like a basket of summer fruit. He said, Amos, what do you see? He said, a basket of summer fruit. And the Lord said unto me, the end has come upon my people, Israel. I will not again pass by them. Amos spoke of their destruction. Jeremiah chapter 24, later, God showed Jeremiah a basket of good figs. And he said, I have not destroyed Israel that they will not live again. Paul said, have they stumbled that they will fall? Paul said, God forbid. They have stumbled, but they are going to rise again. And so Jeremiah was shown a basket of good figs, and God showed him that is Israel. They're going to live again. And Romans 11:25, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, till the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. For 2,000 years, as a nation, Israel has laid dormant. God said, I'm going to blind their eyes. The nation of Israel as a whole cannot see Jesus as the Messiah. There are a few Messianic Jews, and there's a few even apostolic spirit-filled Jews, but as a nation, their eyes are blinded. I believe that's the way it will be in the tribulation period. As a nation, God's through with the Gentiles. There will be in the tribulation period people born, saved of every kindred, nation, and tongue. So there will probably be a few Gentiles saved even in the tribulation period. But it's not. But we can't bank on that. Because God said in Thessalonians, I will send you a lie that if you don't receive a love for the truth, I will send you a delusion that you'll believe a lie and be damned. And so we can't say, well, I'll be saved at tribulation. But that's not really our time. There may be a few saved there as martyrs. But this is our day. As a nation, this is our time. And he said, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So this is a sign to us Gentiles. When Israel became a nation, this generation shall not pass away. This is our sign. If you don't have any other sign, this is it. Israel was likened to a tender plant. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Bible says salvation is of the Jews. It's the Jews that brought us the word of God. God and Messiah came through the Jews. So we owe the Jews our very salvation. And thank God they turned away from God, so God had a time to turn to us. We owe the Jews our prayers, our love, and everything we can give them. And so Israel's the natural branch, and the Gentile church is a grafted in branch. And Paul said, if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he spare you not, Gentile church. Hosea predicted the birth of re-Israel in chapter 6, verse 1. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he has torn, he will heal us, he has smitten, he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us, and the third day he will raise us up. We shall live in his sight. For 2 days he will bind us up. 2 days, 2,000 years. Days is 1,000 years. That's that 2,000-year gap for the Gentiles. And Hosea said, for those 2 days, we're going to be bound up and torn. And so they came to Jesus and said, give us a sign of the end time. What's going to be? He said, no sign shall be given but the sign of the prophet Jonas. As Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The only sign is Jonah in the whale. 3 days. 2 days, God said, I'm going to bind Israel. The third day, they're going to live again. This two-day period is time. Jesus crucified 2,000 years ago. Torn, rejected, scattered abroad, but they came back in May of 1948. Their 2 days of dispersion is about over. That means our Gentile time is about over. So the reemergence of Israel as a state has always been a prerequisite for the rapture. We must be aware that we are living in the last days. I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have proclaimed. Profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord. When I have sanctified in you Israel before the eyes of the nation, God is going to exalt that nation one more time. And they're going to see him and recognize him. Their eyes will be open. At the middle of that tribulation period, when the Antichrist breaks his treaty that they made at the beginning, they're going to see the truth. They're going to recognize Jesus as their Messiah. And God said, those that have profaned you, I'm going to destroy them and let them know that I am. That's his name, you know. I am that I am. The valley of dry bones, let's stand. The valley of dry bones is rattling. The wind is starting to blow and the prophecy is about to be coming to pass. When Ezekiel saw that great host of Israel destroyed and barren and destitute and disconnected, God said, preach. Preach, Ezekiel. Preach. Preach to the wind from the north, the south, the east, and the west. God's going to bring them home. They don't have a temple yet. That's got to be done. Sacrifices got to be reinstituted. That's not taking place yet. Preparation is underway for that temple, for the sacrifices to be made. Research of the internet will quickly prove that much of this is in preparation. They've just got some disputes over land and title and stuff to be settled. And so the world is ripe for an Antichrist because he's going to have the answer. And I promise you, the man that can bring peace to this world or seemingly bring peace will be revered as God. So there's going to be a man that's going to bring peace over there for a while. And they're going to think that he is God. He'll be worshipped as God in the temple, Jerusalem. Thank God for knowledge. Thank God for revelation of who he is. Thank God. The question is, are you filled with his Spirit? Are you born again of the water and the Spirit? Are you rapture ready? The Jews' calendar, 7 years ahead of ours, 63 years, could the Lord come? Even the days will be shortened one place, the Word of God says. Who knows? I would just admonish us as individuals to get our heart right with God, get our house in order, get our business right with God. And then as a church, let's work while it's day, for the night cometh when no man can work. The night cometh when there'll be no sickle to harvest the wheat. There'll be no plow to break up the ground. There'll be no preaching. There'll be no singing. There'll be no praying. When the night comes, the work is over. But while we're in the light, let's break up some fallow ground. While we're in the light, let's plant some seed. And while it's called today, let's see if we can't snatch, as it were, firebrands from hell itself. This last and desperate hour. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just sobering word of God, just before we rush out, I just want to take us a few minutes here just to reflect, to think about our own place, our own heart and our life. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I thank you, Lord, for somebody that brought me this glorious message one day. It's no day for unforgiveness, no day for pride, no day for self-righteousness. If there's ever been a day that calls for humility and humbleness before God, it's the hour we live in. He's coming in an hour that we think not, in an hour that we think not. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just a moment or two. Just a moment or two. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Return. Aren't you glad for the Holy Ghost? Aren't you glad for the hope? Night or noon, we know he's coming.